and they went into, at least for a while, into the academically gifted English courses, they would have a different teacher. And for years, there was a woman named Miss Bowman who was black. And she was very good at teaching black literature and all. So I don't know exactly how the black students sort of viewed us, both of us, and the choices. I mean, I had a fair number of black students, of course, in humanities and all. But she probably had a greater percentage of black students in her classes. But you know, that all that is a part of learning to live with other people. And so I would have to make sure, I mean, I would try my best not to, in any way, sort of look upon those other classes and students and teachers as somehow, you know, not being up to certain standards or whatever. I mean, and so I had to make sure that I talked to the other teacher and interacted and shared materials and for that. And I'm sure there were times, I mean, it's just human nature. There have been some things that either I did or my students did may have caused resentment in those other students. And with Miss Bowman, I don't know. But I know I always respected her and enjoyed interacting with her. And that's one of the lessons of West Charlotte, is that, which I think people don't understand now who are opposed to integration, that integration is not just about the initial choice of putting different people together. It's really the day in and day out.
Well, you talked about what you thought was the day in day out lesson of the show.
Yeah, and that is that it's hard work getting along with people who are different. It's no different, I guess, than any other relationship. And it's just real hard work. And one's feelings are going to be hurt. One will make mistakes and feel terribly guilty. There'll be successes too, but it's just hard work. And it's really minute by minute by minute. You have to be so careful what you say. You have to be so careful how you look at people. You just have to be always on your toes about diversity issues. And I think over the years, I got to be pretty good at it, but I was not one that people would single out as, oh, a wonderful bridge between the races, you know. I mean, it wasn't like I was that sort of person. But looking back on my 11 or 12 years, I had very few black students and black parents really angry at me. I had very few. I had more white parents, you know, who were disappointed in me or whatever, for whatever reasons. I think that's what people at a school like Davidson College don't understand, don't have a chance to learn, is that that integration and living together is not easy. No one's ever said it's easy. And just because you want to do it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, or even that the people you're trying to help will appreciate it. That's human nature. We all remember the slights a lot more than we remember the vague, nice things that people have done to us. I do think that those years of West Charlotte were an accomplishment for me and for everybody there, because we really did provide a good education, and I think the kids did get along for the most part, and the parents did, and they enjoyed it. And I think that their lives were enhanced by it.
How would you change your experience with your
family? I think that it gave me an opportunity to actually be involved with changing some people's lives in a personal way that I would not have been able to do, even given my liberal political views. if I had continued to work for a 3M company and sell sandpaper and work for a big multinational, I would have run into very few black people, either in the company or in the customer base. So it sort of gave me the privilege to actually, you know, interact with people according to my political and religious views. Otherwise, I would have been sort of, and maybe I'm becoming this way now, sort of an effete liberal. You know. Whether I taught at West Charlotte or not, I would have felt, as I'm sure would have felt as I do now, the teaching is probably the one really good thing I've done in my life. And having taught at West Charlotte made it, I think, just all the more rewarding for me.
Is it an experience you look back on, or an experience you bring with you?
I think you do both. I think it's sort of like riding a bike. You don't really forget how to do at least the basics of it. And being able to converse with people of different religions and races without offending them too often is a skill that I learned there that I think I still have. As well as being able to converse with just other white people who were a little bit different than me or who might be different, I don't know. You sort of learn how to think before you speak. But I do sort of look back because I think that the teaching chapter is behind me now in my personal life. Also, I think that West Charlotte's role in Charlotte-Mecklenburg society is now changing. And it may be that West Charlotte, maybe Charlotte-Mecklenburg no longer needs a flagship school for integration. Maybe that's not what, you know, we're about these days. But maybe the black community does need an awfully strong high school that it can be proud of, especially when we see, you know, just how strong these high schools in South Charlotte, you know, are academically and otherwise.
Why is that comparison?
Well, because if you're living on the west side of town and you're black, especially, I mean, you need something to be proud of. You know, there, as you know, black youngsters are bombarded on a daily basis with examples of white achievement and very, very few examples of black achievement. And so they can make the inference about themselves that the odds are they're not going to be as successful as the white images they see. For that reason, they need to have, I think, their own successes. And I think West Charlotte, I hope that West Charlotte can remain a strong school, academically and otherwise, in the coming decades so that the black community will have that.
But you're not sure if it's really
good. You know, one of the interesting things about our past work where we had invested so much of our hearts is knowing when to let go of it. So just because I think that West Charlotte was a great experience for me and the other students, both black and white, and their parents who comprised that school 10 to 25 years ago, doesn't mean that it should continue to go on unchanged. I mean, if I felt that way, then I may just be indulging my own sort of beliefs and feelings and all. I mean, maybe I have to change too. It's time for me to change. And I don't mean by backing down on my belief in integration and all that, but when it comes to the practical aspects of how this community will achieve that. You know, maybe I need to let go of my image of West Charlotte as it was in the past. Maybe there needs to be a new creation of West Charlotte's importance to the community. I think that there are an awful lot of white folks who have a hard time letting go of that.
What do you think would change in society that maybe makes that less necessary? What has changed so that Charlotte Mecklenburg doesn't need a white chief immigration?
Well, it may need it, but maybe West Charlotte's not it. I think that the mood of white people in the U.S. is not as tolerant as it was 30 years ago, believe it or not. Even though Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools had to be integrated sort of forcefully by Judge McMillan, there were enough white leaders in the county to really fight the battle and make it happen. I don't sense that there's that sort of leadership now. In the current court case, I think that the school system is sort of going through the motions or summoning up their sort of last energy to sort of do this. But I don't see Hugh McCall and Ed Crutchfield and the big guys who work in the tall buildings downtown advocating, basically forced integration. You know, and I think you had the Steve Spanglers and the folks like that in the past who did 30 years ago. So I think that's one thing. I think that among the white community, there's less energy for integration. You know, neighborhood schools require the least amount of energy on the part of everyone. I think that there have not been many articulate advocates of integration in Charlotte or across the country in the last 15 years. I don't think there's anyone there who's been articulate enough to inspire both white and black people by the vision of an integrated society. And so therefore I don't think there are that many who really want to do it, who would take pride in it, who would see it as an accomplishment, the way they did here in Charlotte 30 years ago. I mean, there was a great sense of accomplishment, at least by a lot of the white leaders on that school board, Maggie Ray and others at that point. I think, too, that just the practicality of created by the demographics and the distances now have made them far more difficult. I noticed in the paper yesterday the maps comparing the housing patterns from 1998 back to 1990 have concentrated a lot more black folks toward the center of the city. So right there it makes it more difficult. Also, it depends. One's definition of integration is important too, and you see that in all organizations and campuses, even at Davidson. You know, if one's definition of integration is that the minority students will be diffused almost equally throughout the majority, then I think that's a definition that's not going to be able to be achieved in the coming decades, for the reasons I just articulated. I think if one defines integration as the ability for minorities, let's say, to individually achieve their dreams for their lives and to live lives of respect and self-respect. In other words, they have access to what they need to achieve in life, and for other people to respect them, then I think that's possible.
Charlotte goes back to two different school systems.
Well, I don't think it will ever be two different school systems. I think the challenge, and it may be impossible, is to ensure that the primarily black schools will receive the resources they need, both funding and talent and personnel that they need to really educate their children as best they can. Of course, we know from history, from experience, that it doesn't usually work that way. And, that's the argument that Julius Chambers is not going to let anybody forget. You know, separate can never be equal because the real world doesn't work that way. But I think that there may be, a sort of resolve that in this community that, okay, by golly, we'll try to make that work. You know, and maybe we'll do a better job of it than we did, you know, before integration 30 years ago. You know, maybe that's what they'll, you know, that even conservatives can take seriously. Well, gee, funding ought to be equal. You know? So I think that, I don't know, that's the only other alternative I can think of. I'm not creative enough to think of any others. And that's certainly not a creative solution, but it comes down to resolve that we are going to distribute the resources equally. And the expectations equally, and all those other things that create success in a school system.
Turn for a minute, actually, to being a parent, since you also were a parent. And maybe you saw some of these things happen while you were a parent. I mean, some of these changes were taking place. When did your younger son graduate?
My younger son, Nathan, graduated in 94. Excuse me, I guess he graduated in 96. Jeremy graduated in 94. They had different interests, although they both were good students. Jeremy is the classic first child, type A, goal-oriented, pretty self-centered, extremely competitive, very quick learner, well-rounded, talented in a lot of ways. And he went on to Davidson. Nathan is more laid back, anti-preppy, non-competitive. And so they ran in different circles at West Charlotte. And I think Jeremy enjoyed West Charlotte a lot more than Nathan did, because Nathan was not as involved in sports teams and clubs and all that sort of thing.
How did they come to go to West Charlotte?
Well, because we live in the Cotswold neighborhood. And Cotswold's on the east side, so by car, it takes about 18 to 20 minutes to drive to West Charlotte if the traffic's not bad. Myers Park and East Mac are close to where we, especially Myers Park, very close to where we live. But as you know, when the school board learned that they must integrate and bus if they needed to. Since West Charlotte was the only high school in a black neighborhood, none of the white neighborhoods wanted to be assigned to West Charlotte. So as I understand it, they literally put the names in a hat of neighborhoods and just drew them out. And that's why West Charlotte gets kids from all over the city, at least white students. And that created the cosmopolitan sort of feel at the school. Well, Cotswold, which is around the intersection of Sharon Amity and Randolph, was one of those neighborhoods, as was Eastover, as was the UNCC area. And so those three areas provided most of the college-bound students at the school. at least from the white, in the white community. So it was actually just by coincidence. I mean, we didn't know that when we moved to Cotswold that West Charlotte was the high school.
What did your sons think about the prospect of going to West Charlotte?
Well, they both looked forward to it. Because they all had, well, for one reason, I had taught there for years, and so they got to know the school that way. And always enjoyed going to football games and going to the Thanksgiving Day parade and waiting for the West Charlotte Band, which is the highlight of the parade, and all that stuff. They also knew older kids who went to West Charlotte, and they were looking forward to having that experience also. There was great anticipation and excitement about going there, and great pride that it was not just like one of the other lily white high schools.
So you never considered Magnet or any other kind of school
besides? I really thought that the education they got at West Charlotte, both socially and even and especially academically, was going to be superior than they could get anywhere. There were a lot of really good teachers for advanced students at West Charlotte. Actually, there were a lot of good teachers for everybody, but there were just some great teachers for advanced students at West Charlotte in all subject areas, and often they were very demanding. For example, one of them, John Pascal, who taught chemistry at West Charlotte all through the 70s, starting with integration there all through the 70s and maybe to like 1985 or so, was extremely demanding, and hardly anyone ever made higher than a C in his course. But the admissions offices at Davidson and elsewhere knew him, and Roger Brewell, who taught mathematics and calculus in advanced classes, was the same way, extremely demanding, very few A's and B's in his classes. But they had reputations in the admissions offices all around the country. So, which meant that their recommendations carried some weight. Now, that was never a concern. We were more concerned sort of socially about our kids, not at West Charlotte, but at being with just so many affluent white kids who were sort of into the party scene and acting like college, you know, fraternity kids. So we were delighted, really, that they went to West Charlotte.
For that reason?
For that reason, yeah. I think being a parent is, and I had stopped teaching by the time my students had gone there, so I was just a parent at that point. Having a parent go to, as a parent, you, there's a lot more faith required in the school and in the teachers, because you're not there every day, or any day really. And you rely so much more upon what your child tells you or what the administration says about something. You know, you just... You can't have all of your questions answered and all that, at least not on a daily basis. So there's a leap of faith. And now the one drawback of white students being assigned to West Charlotte and being so far from their homes was that it was harder for them psychologically and physically to stay after school to do extracurricular things. I mean, they had to get line up rides home, or the parents had to come over later in the afternoon to pick them up, or that sort of thing. Plus, psychologically, you know, it's one thing for your child to be in a school in a black neighborhood from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. with, you know, 1,500 other kids. And it's another thing for them to be part of a handful of kids who are going to be there 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, or maybe going back after dinner for play practice or for a performance or something like that. There are legitimate worries about their physical safety. Now, some of the fears are exaggerated, but nevertheless, these are fears. Of course, there's just the basic fear of being away from them, being so far away from them, whether it's a black neighborhood or not. West Charlotte's neighborhood the surrounding area is what I would call probably middle class to lower middle class. That section of Bates Ford is, and had, at least at that time, was pretty run down. There were winos who every afternoon stood in this one empty lot on near the corner of Bates Ford and LaSalle, and all the parents or whoever else who was driving to pick up kids at the school at that time would go by these students, and the kids would go by them on their way home if they were driving themselves and all that. I mean, you have to sort of get used to that sort of urban environment. But I can honestly say that all those years that I coached soccer over there, which was 9 years, we never had any trouble with the other kids in the community or with theft, or we didn't have our cars broken into or anything like that. But nevertheless, you know, as a parent, you talking to other prospective parents in Cotswold, you know, you'd have to tell them that. You'd have to reassure them that their kid's going to be okay as long as he or she's not looking for trouble. You know, that, you know, you'd have to get over that. But that was a disadvantage from a parent's point of view. That was probably the only disadvantage I can think of in reality, other than just receiving, you know, a lot of sort of flack from sort of less liberal parents and students whose kids were going to the mostly white, or the schools in the white neighborhoods.
So did you receive flack, or did you hear about?
I didn't as a teacher.
But when,
no.
When your kids were going there?
My kids were going there. If I talked to folks who were in the community who lived on the east or south side, especially if they were new to Charlotte, they would reveal sort of a perplexed look if I said my kids went to West Charlotte. I think there's no question that sort of affluent folks who live in South and East Charlotte just cannot imagine that a school in a black neighborhood could be a very good school. Because, unlike Huck Finn, they've never had to interact with other people. All they see is what they read about or hear on the news, and that's usually pretty negative when it comes to schools and black neighborhoods across the country.
Sounds to me like the reason to keep West Charlotte integrated, not to interject my own opinion.
Well, you know, if it could be done fairly easily and if people were receptive to it, sure. Now, you have to also worry, though, about sort of backlashes. And usually I don't care about backlashes, but nevertheless, you have to be careful about that, because as we see with affirmative action, it can create actually some sort of honest resentment among some white folks. It also is... just a ready-made excuse for white folks too, a lot of times. You know, if they don't succeed, they can always blame it on quotas, you know. So I think that, I don't know, maybe other schools are where the real work of integration needs to occur. You know, Myers Park is probably, I don't know, I assume it's probably 50% black, you know? So maybe it's happened, maybe Myers Park is serving that purpose now. I assume Vance, I don't know what Vance is.
I think it's relatively mixed. I mean, it's a new school that people want to go to.
Yeah, and it's in the university. Yeah, I just don't know anything about where. I mean, my presumptions about the white folks who go to Vance is that they're probably a little more liberal than most white folks, especially if they come from the university area there. Mm-hmm. And but it's a magnet school too, I believe. So they may come with a better attitude. Mm-hmm. You know.
In a sense, it seems like what you're saying, when you talk about that in this time and place, to ask these folks who have a lot of options to send their kids to the school in a black neighborhood is just, it didn't used to be asking too much, but now it is in a way.
Well, see, before they didn't have many other options. They didn't have any other options. Because mm-hmm. But that's why, once you embark upon magnetism, now there are all these other options. So if they, and it also was that the West Charlotte was the case, that West Charlotte's open program was the only magnet school in Charlotte. So if you were a white parent and you were unhappy with, you know, your child's, like, neighborhood school or assigned school, your only safety valve was the open program at West Charlotte. And so you would try that, and you probably have a good attitude as you tried it. Well, so what happened is if you take a magnet, let's just take just one magnet, like the arts magnet at Northwest, what used to be Northwest Junior High, which is actually just two blocks from West Charlotte. If a lot of the white kids who went to West Charlotte were sort of the creative arts kids. A lot of them came from Piedmont Open School. Mm-hmm. Well, right now, if that's their interest, they didn't have to do the open program or go to Charles Laborde's fabulous drama program at West Charlotte. Now they go to the real thing, you know? And so that, I'm sure that drained off a lot right there. If any of those magnets just allow these choices, see, and I mean, West Charlotte is only the flagship for, it was the flagship really for busing. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. When it comes to just integration, that's theoretically, if magnets worked the way people hope they would, then that will achieve integration, voluntary integration.
Do you think it will?
No, what I learned from doing the humanities program at West Charlotte and also observing the open program at West Charlotte for years was that it's sort of like Puritanism in the New World. You know, that the first generation and maybe the second generation of leaders have the energy and the enthusiasm and the vision. But after that, people do what's convenient. Mm-hmm. And we saw that with the open program. I think the open program was strong through the 70s. By the early 80s, it was basically open education in name only. And part of that was because of its own success, not just at West Charlotte so much, but across the country. The open education movement, although it's been heavily criticized by conservatives ever since it started, really has provided the greatest influence in teaching methodology in the country. So what happened was that the regular classroom teacher by the 1980s was adopting open education techniques. I mean, kids were doing projects, they were asked to be a little more creative than they were otherwise, and then other things happened, especially, for example, in the English curriculum, this movement for student writing took hold in the 80s. And so now just your regular teachers discovered that, it's sort of fun to have the kids write in a journal and write about themselves. And so they start doing that stuff. Well, then there's less distinction between open education and the regular classroom. So I predict that the magnets will suffer the same sort of loss of enthusiasm. It's very difficult to keep these specialty curriculums going. There's so much teacher turnover that, you just have to keep re-educating these new teachers all the time to come in there. And what happens is that whereas in the original setup of any magnet school or program, the teachers who come to teach there select to come teach there because they're fired up about the idea. Well, when they leave, you don't have that, and now you're just filling teacher vacancies. And so now you have to sort of indoctrinate the new teachers into this certain approach, but they don't have the enthusiasm for it. I fear that this is what will happen with most of the magnet schools in Charlotte, especially if they have sort of odd themes. You know, I mean, if it's math and science, well, okay. Of course, math and science that is being taught at the other schools anyway, but if it's communications and something or other, you know, what does that mean? You know, and so I think too, I don't know for a fact because I haven't had a direct involvement with magnet schools, especially in elementary school and middle schools, but I suspect that most of the people opting for magnet schools are doing it either for convenience sake or they don't like the school that their kids would go to otherwise. So they'll take a chance on it. There may be a prestige factor involved, but I don't think it's so much for the curriculum.
Well, let me ask a question related to curriculum, related to the schools. You said when your sons were assigned to La Charlotte, you were happy because you thought it was a good school, and it had very good teachers, and they would be challenged. What if La Charlotte had been this relatively integrated school providing this opportunity for learning, and yet academically had been just a notch lower, hadn't been? What would you have thought about sending your students to, or your sons to the school?
I would have been much less enthusiastic about it. In talking to some of the parents who in the beginning stuck with the public school system in the beginning of integration and whose children ended up going to West Charlotte, all of them said that the educational preparation was more important to them than the social experiment of integration. They believed in integration, but they believed more in high-quality education. Now, I'm told that this school system made a concerted effort to get strong teachers into West Charlotte, you know, in the beginning. And when I was there, most of the teachers were still there. I mean, when I arrived in the late 70s. So this may sound prideful, and it is. I think that that as the strong teachers, you know, did their work at West Charlotte and stayed, didn't just leave after 2 or 3 years. That made it easier for the white parents to be idealistic. See, if you look at my own education, it sort of belies the necessity for integrated schooling. But I had such a great high school and college education in the liberal arts that at least intellectually I was prepared for diversity. I didn't have any of the practical tools, but you know, usually I've observed in life that idealism is it's not a necessity. you know, it's a, how would you say it? It's something that you can do if you don't have to fight too hard for it. You know, it's sort of, don't we see that in all aspects of our lives? I mean, it's easy to be a Christian if you don't have to stand up in front of a gunman and say, yes, I believe in God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to believe in integration as long as your own children are going to get a good education and be happy. You know, sort of like, as long as there's not too much self-sacrifice, we can be idealistic. You know, maybe honesty and integrity is something that only those who are comfortable in life can really pull off perfectly. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Well, speaking of that, you said you wouldn't tell me the story about the Spaniards. If you wish, you don't.
Well, this will give you sort of a flavor of sort of the battle we were in to gain respect at West Charlotte back in the late 70s and early 80s especially. One morning we woke up to see a front page headline in the Sunday Observer that sort of screamed, black image threatens school that made desegregation work. And it was an article that voiced the complaints of two or three white parents from Myers Park, Eastover area, whose children went to West Charlotte. And they were quoted in the paper as saying that since the principal and the football coach and the basketball coach and the athletics director were all black, that the leadership at the school didn't really care about the white students. And in that article, they quoted students from Myers Park and others calling the school West Chocolate and this sort of thing. Well, that was devastating to our students, both black and white. And so we discussed it in my AP English class that day. And those students were especially irate, and of course they're bright enough to express their outrage. And so I invited the reporter who wrote the story to come out to West Charlotte to talk to my class about the story. And his name was Shepherd. And he came out and he answered questions by these kids, but he mainly listened, to his credit, to these kids, and they just let him have it. And Anna Spangler was in that class, and she was one of them, and she was almost in tears and so angry. Now, Anna is such a, like her mother, so graceful and charming and attractive and dignified under pressure, that I'd never seen her really shake with anger like that. And one of the things that she said, which I'll never forget, is that, you know, first of all, this is not true, what you printed. Secondly, by printing this, do you know how much more difficult this has made it for my sister, who's in junior high, and because she's assigned to West Charlotte, and now she's going to suffer the ridicule of all these other white kids who have been assigned to Myers Park. And she said, all of us have fought for years to overcome that. And right when we thought we had done it, you know, you print this article, you know, without even interviewing any of us. And then I talked to the reporter after the class was over, and pointed out and asked him, why did you do this? Because I assume there's an ulterior motive to all this. And he said, well, he said, you know, what we printed was true because all we were doing was reporting what the feelings were of these parents. Now, I knew those parents. I taught their children. And there was a lot more going on in West Raw with all this. But, you know, I sort of brought up the argument, well, shoot, what kind of integrity in journalism does that take? I mean, you know, why don't you do an article on how West Charlotte students feel about the Charlotte Observer? You know, I mean, there is, you have to, they do have to look for truth, not just accusations. But then, anyway, that was sort of interesting. Then I went to our principal and said, he was black, his name is McMillan. We waited for the next school board meeting, which was later that week. Nothing was said about this article, except the response by Jay Robinson, mm-hmm. the superintendent, and others in the school system to the media was apologetic. That, oh gee, we didn't know we had this problem at West Charlotte. And so when I and a couple other teachers saw that, then we became really enraged at the school system and the superintendent. And I went to our principal and I said,